How big of a sigh of relief to get through this process?
It's big, big sigh of relief to be able to have come this far. We were just talking about the numbers in reference to what SEC came in. And so we're getting some of the numbers from our campaign work. So the State Employees Charitable Campaign came in about 10, almost 15% higher than we expected. It's about $625,000 that they were able to raise amongst that. And our community campaign, which is the other one, around $700,000, is we're not done with that yet, but it's darn near close. And so it's really good to feel like we moved the organization forward, but we didn't lose a lot of ground. We didn't lose ground in these areas that are really important to bringing in the money.
Well, if there's time to still contribute to the community campaign, how does one go about doing that?
Well, there is a way to be able to do it on the website. So you can we have our donate button there, and of course they can call the office and be able to just talk to folks talk to Lori Garrett is the one to be able to talk to there and say, hey, what's going on with the community campaign? And where we have actually a wonderful opportunity is we have this match program with the Bryant family that's allowed us to be able to raise. They put a $100,000 match up. So for every dollar that gets raised, we're getting that same amount of money from the Bryan family, and we're kind of in the second phase. We raised $50,000, and then we put it on hold a little bit during the fall as we went into the community campaign, and now we're back kicking that back into place so that we've got another $50,000 we need to raise this spring, and that's on top of those other numbers that we were just talking about, the community campaign. And that's something we'll really be looking for folks to join us and step up. And that's the kind of money that we're going to use to try and fill some of this gap back in that we noticed as we were going along.
I was going to ask about where that money was going to go, and also have you summarize what 12, 18 months of, I don't know how you want to describe, other than reorganization. I don't know where to go beyond that.
Yeah, the match money is intended to go back to our agencies to get back out in the community. So that money goes out, and it will be a big piece of what gets pushed back out to the community. We already gave away some of that first money that came in, and as we get to the end of this fiscal year and we sort of reallocate, make a judgment about how much came in, and we use this to continue to sort of support those organizations and those agencies. So that gets out the door. Yeah, 12 to 18 months of organizing and cleaning house. And Ken Fogel, who was the board chair when a lot of this was breaking, said he was sort of part of cleaning out the garage, so to speak. He said, well, and he left us with all the stuff lying all over the sidewalk. So it's been a pleasure and an honor to be able to help try and rebuild some of these things and put them back into place, I must admit. And we look for ways to be able to contribute, and it was I felt really fortunate to sort of have the skill sets that I had that I could bring in and be a part of imagining where the organization was going to go. And everywhere you turn, people want to try and make us do well. So I mean, in many ways, we couldn't fail, because the community really wants us to succeed in a way that was really good.
How many members on the board?
Gosh, we got a pretty good sized board. We just recruited four or five new folks, so I think we're up to about 26 folks on the board. So it's a pretty good sized group of folks. We keep them all busy. We've got them plugged into committees. They're out making site visits right now and visiting our partner agencies to make decisions about where the allocations are going to be going as we move into the next year. So it's a good group of folks. I'm really honored to be able to work with them.
Before the newest folks came on board, so you had about 20 people right. As y'all were trying to decide the future of how this was going to all work out. Talk about that a little bit in retrospect.
Yeah, it was given the group that it was, and when all of this sort of broke, we were literally bringing in our newest group of board members, and they. Right in the middle of the meeting, as we told them that there was financial concerns, but I don't think they fully appreciated the size of the financial concerns, and especially sort of the firestorm that sort of broke out there a year ago, March. The executive committee was the group that sort of really came together and said, okay, wait, what are we going to do, and what are the decisions that we're going to make? So folks who were part of campaign, folks who were the finance committee chair, the folks who were secretary, those folks came together and did real deep decision making and real deep sort of thought and bringing that back to the full board. But it was that core group that began to say, here's what we got to do. And especially when we began to realize that we really needed to change some important elements of the organization, that group was pretty instrumental in. I mean, it's really difficult for volunteers to kind of come to terms with, well, what does that mean and what does that look like for our organization and how are we going to be able to move forward and what kind of risk does that entail? And it wasn't smooth. I mean, we had expected to have a new executive director in the fall, and that individual, it didn't work. The search didn't succeed. And so we went for another 3-4 months, almost 6 more months, without anybody leading the organization per se. And the executive committee stepped up again, said, no, we're going to be a part of that. This group's going to take responsibility for this piece. This group's going to take responsibility for this piece. And we divided up that and started meeting with people and getting into the office. I got to spend a little bit of extra time at the United Way in the fall, and really see how the staff pulled together. They self-organized and did what they needed to do to take care and get their job done. And I think the numbers that we're seeing now are reflective of that.
The ultimate in the problem-solving process.
Yes. It really, it was it was quite a time. I mean, I study nonprofit organizations, and so to be able to watch it play itself out and to watch the commitment of folks that were a part of it was, let's hope, once in a lifetime opportunity to be able to do that. And as I said, to be kind of in a unique spot where I could see that. And we're just thrilled to be able to have the new guy come in and pass a few things off to him.
Well, and I'm going to get to Andy in a little bit, but before Andy, y'all had to make some fundamental decisions about how United Way of the Brazos Valley is going to operate philosophically, and make some of those decisions. You know, what do we keep? What do we change?
Right. And in thinking about the way, what it means to lead an organization like this, and what an organization, you know, the integrity of the organization. That's why I used the word today when I was talking. You know, we did not keep our word. We said we were going to do some kind of stuff, and we didn't keep our word. And when we figured it out, it took us a while to figure it out, and we weren't very clean about the process of figuring it out. And once we did, I think we tried to make it as whole as we could. But we dug a pretty deep hole. One of the guys on the board said, you know, we're in a hole and we better stop digging. And I think for a while we kept digging, even though we didn't know we were in the hole. And so it did mean that we needed to change some leadership. I mean, personally, I thought about it myself. I said, you know, I was here too. Should I be somebody that should be, maybe I should be thinking about moving on as well. And I think I was able to contribute in a way that helped move it forward a little bit. And that's why I keep referencing the executive committee, because they really helped us, helped me, and helped all of us sort of balance out what was happening. I really appreciate every one of those folks and the way that they understood where we needed to go. And on different occasions, I would bring information or they would bring information, and then we would help understand what was going on and where we needed to go next. So, yeah, it was difficult. I mean, the leadership of the organization had to change. It became pretty apparent that we needed to be able to make some changes for where we were and what needed to get done next. We were not going to be able to do that the way we were.
So what's the shift in philosophy? What stays philosophically?
We've always been committed to what we call a community impact model, which is a way to be able to allocate our money to be able to achieve impact and to be able to achieve significant benefits. We do that through our partner agencies, but we continue to move our... It's not an easy process when you begin to set out those kinds of expectations. But what this time allows us to do is to revisit that and emphasize that as we continue to move forward. Our partners are a part of that conversation. They know what's going on. They help us establish those goals. But we continue to emphasize the community-wide goals. That what does the Brazos Valley need? And what can we do to begin to invest in those? And how can our partner agencies be a part of addressing fundamental issues in reference to education, fundamental issues in reference to the financial health of the of low-income families so that they can be more stable, in reference to the health of our community. Our partner agencies are instrumental in that. And so what we did is we reiterated our commitment to those goals and to those ideals, that the way we were going to add value was going to be coalescing people together to address those problems. And by bringing people together, we were able to prioritize goals for the community.
So how's that different from what it was?
From what it was, we used to do a lot more of direct allocation to agencies because of who the agencies were and what they stood for. They're solid groups. We still invest in those same organizations. We just invest in a slightly different way, with these goals as preeminent, where at times United Ways in the past didn't always do that. United Ways had a cohort of organizations, good organizations. You know, we know who they are. You can see them on our website. There's a number of really good organizations that we continue to invest in. But they were almost invested in just because they were there and they were partners. Now we invest in them because we've decided these are goals and priorities for us. And to be honest with you, some of our partners find it can find it uncomfortable because it's different than the way that we used to deal with them. We don't mean to create a barrier. We want them to be a part of establishing these goals, and they are. But they're broad, community-based goals. So it's a slightly different way of thinking about how we put the money out. I mean, it is about our partner agencies. They do the good work. But it's also about the investment and the people who give us the money and entrust us with this money to be able to use it in the most effective way. And we need to figure out, and we have been as a board and as an organization, what's the most useful value added that we can do with this money as we bring it together.
It sounds like there's more accountability by the agencies that you fund.
That's correct. And we do that, yes, through the establishment of these goals. We get them to give us information so we can say, here's how these things are changing or not changing. Here's how we're going to adjust these goals. More accountability for us, and easier for us to be able to stay. Instead of maybe 5-10 years ago, we used to say to a donor, look, we gave all your money to these wonderful organizations. Well, now we want to be able to say, look, we gave all this money to these wonderful organizations, and look at what they accomplished. They accomplished these really important things that we know are important for our organization.
I don't know if it's an accurate word to say, going through this purging process, it just kind of hit me that way. Needed to fill chief executive's role.
Right.
So in what part of this whole process did the conversation begin about then, now what are we going to look for in the next executive?
We went back and thought about the as part of a national organization, there's standards and there's goals, and there are different kinds of United Ways, and we looked to the United Ways that were doing some of the things we wanted to be moving toward. And there's local ones around that do some of that stuff. We looked to some of the folks in what they're doing in Montgomery, at the County United Way over there. We looked at some of the others. Of course, the Houston United Way is a big one, but so we looked for peer organizations, the North Texas United Way, and said, what are you guys doing, and who are you looking for? What does that mean to be moving in the direction that you guys seem to be moving in? So that was one of the first things we did, was start talking to other people around, saying, okay, how can we get somebody who understands this? We're really lucky to be able to get a guy who gets it, appreciates it, wants to be a part of it, wants to move the organization in that kind of direction, is willing, has done it before. It's just, you know, it's wonderful. You know, if you try to be at, you know, try and do these things and you struggle and you're a little bit, you hear what people say, but to have somebody in-house who's done it before and moved into his organization in this direction, it's really lucky. So the process was looking around, hearing from the United Way worldwide, looking at models and saying, here's what I think that would look like in our organization, given who we are and what we would be able to do.
So you go through the fact-finding process and you come up with your with your shopping list, right, so to speak. And then you do your search, which turns out to be search number one.
Correct.
So what happens after search number one that everybody regroups and says, okay, here's where we're at now?
We still want this. We still want this. It's going to be harder than we thought to find the right person who fits. It was really hard, I must admit, to say no, that this woman that we've identified isn't going to work for us. She doesn't have the right skills. She doesn't bring the right kind of frame. It was very hard for us to do that. We heard again and again and again that people recognized that was indeed true, that she was nice, but she didn't bring the skills. So we went back at it. And that to be honest with you, I took a little extra time. Put in an extra effort to pay attention to what was going on in the organization. Bob, bless his heart, was Bob Fleischer, mm-hmm. who was the interim director, said, you know what? I think I did my piece for you. So we had it felt like it was a sort of a second crisis happened for mm-hmm. us a little bit. And so that was where I felt like I was able to fill a little bit of the gap there and come in and say, okay, well, and that's bringing these people back together again. But we didn't change what we wanted. We knew what we still wanted, and we just went back at it again. And we reorganized our search committee. Some people stayed, some people left, and we just did it again. And the timing was better. It worked better for what we United Ways function. Our timing in the last search wasn't the best. And we literally just started over again and went through the applications again and got a new pool of folks, called people. You know, the way you need to be able to call people up and say, hey, do you know somebody who might be good? And actually Andy was referred by a good colleague who comes out of the North Texas United Ways, who said, you know what, I think I might know somebody that might be good for you down there. And so that was a wonderful lead that was a good part of it.
So the minutiae of that process, once the board and Andy got together, how much of it was the board going to Andy, and how much of it was Andy talking to the board? I mean, how much of this? It's almost a mating process.
Right. He was a good sport. I think he was ready. It's a lucky when the timing gets right. He was ready to do something. His family was at a right time, too. He was ready for, like I said, too, he was ready for something a little more interesting. He likes a challenge. He really believes in what an organization like this can do. He helped move his other organization forward. So the timing was right. So he was very gracious in wanting to come. And we did everything we could to try and be able to make it comfortable and feasible and try and provide a competitive wage and accommodate the transitions to coming down here. So it was indeed a negotiation and a mating process. But both sides, I felt, were pretty honest and actually wanted to make it happen, so it didn't feel like we were convincing him or pulling him away. He was ready, and it was a good spot.
And how much of it was he trying to convince you guys?
You know what? He sold us pretty quick. You got to get to know him a little bit, and as the community gets to know him, you're going to see that he's a wonderful, honest, good-hearted guy that really believes in what's going on and wants to make a difference. I can't say that we won't make a mistake again or that we won't stumble again as an organization or that Andy's going to be perfect or anything like that. I'm not trying to set up unrealistic expectations or that it's not going to take us time. But he understands that and is going to be willing to sort of help move us forward a little by little. So actually, it wasn't too hard for us to be able to say that this seemed like the right kind of guy. And again, I think if you asked our community partners, we had a pretty open process of the search when the second round of candidates came in. And it was pretty clear to most of the people who came to those meetings, too, that this was the right guy. So actually, he sold us pretty quickly and easily on that one.
Well, it sounds like there's energy and enthusiasm on both sides, and it also sounds like there's going to be some patience on both sides as well as the community at large and the community partners which receive the United Way funding.
That's right. Yeah, no, and it will take time. I think I know Andy is anxious to get out and meet more people and but he's also realizing there's still work to be done in the office. There's still some cleaning up that needs to be done. He still needs to understand better where the money comes from, where the money goes, how it comes in, how we track it, and he needs to feel more comfortable with that. So he's going to be, you know, he's going to be spending a little bit of time at his desk, I think perhaps even a little more than he'd anticipated, to make sure that he understands, gets his mind fully wrapped around how we work, how the organization works, what we have and what we don't have. You know, he's leaned over and said, gee, Will, there's still a little bit of work to be done here, you know, and it's true, and he's willing to do that. So part of it's he's going to take time to get him to understand. He's not going to be out talking to people, but he's not going to be able to do it quite as fast or quite as aggressively as he might have liked, I think, in some ways. But it's okay, because he'll be that much better off as we get into the fall and we kick into our another campaign season next fall and certainly over the next couple of years.
I guess the true test will be is when the board meetings become a little bit shorter, perhaps, and board members are not at the office quite as often for quite as long per visit.
That's true. We do keep our board members busy in committee meetings and such like that, but we may not feel like we have to meet quite as long or quite as frequently. We feel more comfortable with the way that the committees are operating. We're getting the kind of information we need. I'm seeing it already in the Finance Committee. I mean, we've been working on it for quite a long time. But even now, he's continuing to sort of say, okay, what if we did these kinds of things? And that continues to give us a great deal of confidence about his ability to understand what's going on. For a guy who's been here less than a month, he pretty quick study on that.
So it sounds like the curve may not be awfully long for really wonderful things as far as campaigns are concerned. Increased funding, maybe more agencies can be assisted. I don't know how far I want to get the cart before the horse right on that, but somewhere down the road I would think those are goals.
Absolutely. We've looked at comparables. One of the things that the board did and that the Finance Committee did was look at sort of, well, where does the United Way of the Brazos Valley stand when you look at comparable United Way organizations in the state of Texas operating in similar municipal areas? And to be honest with you, we're down near the bottom. We looked at 25 organizations that are fairly comparable to ours. Similar, they have these classifications of these organizations. So similar classifications are the next classification up. And it's pretty darn clear that we should be in that next classification up and that we should be raising more money. And as Andy said, it takes time to do that. So absolutely, we know there is opportunity to do better, and we know that there are organizations that do better than what we've done in the past. And we have some ideas about what it takes. We know that it takes a better volunteer infrastructure. It takes a better way that we connect volunteers to the campaign process. You'll see that in place in the fall, beginning steps of that, and I hope, yes, that we see some fruits of actually having more money to be able to give away and put out there and to make a difference.
But back around full circle, this campaign's not over. The community campaign's not over with yet, so again, another reminder to go to the website, call the office.
Absolutely. There's an opportunity to be able to contribute both to the campaign work that's been done and to the stakeholder match campaign that we have going on as well. So thank you very much.